Hello, saints. Good to be back with you again. Let's go to the Lord. Father God, we praise you and we glorify you, Father, for your mercy upon us. Some of our misunderstanding of what the fear of the Lord is, Lord. And I thank you, Father, for helping us to give the scriptures out that would tell us that the fear of the Lord is wisdom. It's smart to have the fear of the Lord. And Father, we thank you for blessing this study today. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Well, of course, that's what I want to talk about is the fear of the Lord. For the most part, you know, America and the world, they don't fear God. Even church members don't fear God. Preachers and priests don't fear God. And in fact, the world doesn't fear God. You can almost ask anyone, and they will most likely tell you that God is love. Well, why shouldn't we be afraid of him? Well, it's true that God is love, and he does love us. But we need to also have a healthy understanding of the fear of God as well. And hopefully today we can show you through the word what the fear of the Lord means and how it should apply to our walk. There's a lot of directions that a person can take in life, but the Bible says that as we make decisions, either we can be wise or foolish. And if we want to be wise, we have to first start by dealing with our hearts, in that we must be sure that we fear the Lord and have surrendered our lives to him. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So those who fear the Lord are those who have true wisdom, have true understanding and insight as to what this world and this life are all about. Those are the ones who don't waffle when it comes to principle and truth, but they stand firm for righteousness and justice, things in which God delights. He loves that. You will not see those who fear the Lord pander to the crowd or seek to be people pleasers, but they only seek to please the great and mighty audience of one. Now, in addition to being the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is also the end of all things. That is, it's the summation of our purpose and life on this earth. Listen to what Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 and 14 says. "This is the end of the matter. All hath been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." You know, some live for selfish pleasures, others for riches, and others for fame, notoriety, and vain ambition. And those who are wise are going to live by the guiding principle of the fear of the Lord. They're going to seek his will above their own, knowing that God sees all. It's going to hold them accountable for how they live. Those who could care less about God's judgment because they don't fear him won't care to receive the gospel. But those who do fear the just punishment of God for sin have reason and incentive to trust in Christ. The fear of the Lord is the only right posture for living, and it's the only way that leads to wisdom. Fearing the Lord is a starting point for faith and a guiding motivator for a life in Christ. Our entire life should be lived by fearing God and keeping his commandments. Those who fear God will keep the commands of God, living out Christ's desires on earth. And when we fail to fear God and thereby exalt ourselves, we're going to sin. It's going to happen. The fear of God is to be a lifelong posture which will enable us to walk in holiness in this race that we're in. The Christian life requires much perseverance and a right view of a holy sovereign God, and it'll keep us on the right track. Proverbs 28 and 14 says, "Happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his his heart shall fall into mischief. You know, as soon as we start being careless with our walk with the Lord, as soon as we devalue eternal priorities in exchange for temporary pleasure, and as soon as we lose sight of God's nature as a consuming fire, Hebrews 12:29 tells us, we will walk arrogantly and lackadaisically into Satan's traps. And it's imperative that we recognize that we are engaged in a battle, and that we represent the true sovereign God of the universe. There's nothing else and no one else to fear but God, because He alone has all power, and nothing happens beyond what He ordains. And He deserves our full allegiance. He deserves our obedience, our respect, our reverence, our awe, and our fear. God's manifestations of Himself, as recorded in the Scripture, as earthquakes, trumpets, fire, thunder, and so on, they're there to remind us of His awesome power and His awesome wonder and His awesome authority. He's the master of the universe, and we have to keep that in mind as we make our choices each day. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, be not afraid of them that kill the body but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him who is able to destroy both the soul and body in hell. Only unbelievers will face God's wrath in hell. So as believers, we wrongly understand the idea of fearing God if we think God is going to pour out His wrath upon us. And as believers, the fear of the Lord shows up most clearly based upon how we view our time on earth. Those who fear God will keep His commandments, not because they're afraid of God's wrath, because they know that they have a stewardship before God, as it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 17. They understand that they will have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give an account for how they live their lives. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10 tells us that. Some Christians will receive many rewards on that day, while others will suffer great loss as they recognize that they were not nearly as faithful as they could have and should have been. 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. And when we remember that God sees all, knows all, and is over all, it'll prompt us to be careful as to how we use our time, our energy, our talents, and resources on this earth. And if we're keeping God's commandments willingly and joyfully, it's a clear sign that we fear God and can expect rewards. But if we live for ourselves and think very little upon advancing the kingdom of God, we lack wisdom and don't fear God as we ought to. We need to try to view our lives in terms of how Jesus the judge views our lives. When we start concerning ourselves with what He thinks, we're fearing God and preparing ourselves for a much happier judgment day. There's none like our God, whose power, His majesty, His glory, His holiness and perfection demand our offering our lives in sacrifice and service to Him. And we need to remember that we are ultimately accountable to Christ. So may His satisfaction, honor, and glory be our chief delight. Glory to God. Now let's see what God's Word says about fearing God. Where does it say in God's Word to fear God? Well, look at Psalms chapter 66 and verse 16. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. Then Acts 13 and 16. And Paul stood up and beckoning with the hand said, men of Israel, ye that fear God, hearken. Then Acts 13:26. Brethren, children of the stock of Abraham and those among you that fear God, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. These words are straight from the Bible and are very clear to us, to those who fear God, is the word of this salvation sent forth, it says. This scripture which Paul spoke might seem strange to your ears. It might even offend some of you. And you might believe that it's not appropriate to scare people into making a commitment to Jesus. But the Bible says in Jude 1:23, and some saved, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. It said mercy with fear. And some might be of the opinion that the word fear, as it appears in the Bible, doesn't really mean what it says. You know what Satan's job is? It's to deceive the whole world. People gather around them, teachers that say what their itching ears want to hear. And in the Old Testament, there are several Hebrew words that are used which translate into the English equivalent of fear. And in nearly every case, it means exactly what it says. Fear, be afraid, terror, dreadful, dreadful fear. And on and on. In some cases, it may mean reverence, as to revere or respect someone with great power. And the same thing holds true in the New Testament. And several Greek words are used which translate much the same. And as we read in Hebrews 10:31, the meaning comes across loud and clear. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And then the next scripture presents a very good question. In Revelation chapter 15 and verse 4, who shall not fear, O Lord, and glorify thy name, for thou only art holy? Well, it's my hope that you will set your heart to understand as Daniel did in Daniel chapter 10 and verse 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thy heart to understand and to humble thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word's sake. So if you're earnestly seeking God's truth, he's going to reveal himself to you. And all we need to do is to incline our ear to hear and our heart to understand. Hear the word of the Lord. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, I know that this message is not a popular one today, but it's the truth. You might not be in agreement with what God's word says. Nevertheless, it is written. 1 Corinthians 9:16, for woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14:2, he that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. You hear that? He that walks in his uprightness fears the Lord. We could say that he does not walk in his uprightness, does not fear the Lord, right? We could say that also. Proverbs 14:16, a wise man fears and departs from evil, but the fool bears himself insolently and is confident. Jesus tells us in Matthew 10:28, and be not afraid of them that kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell. It's written in Ecclesiastes 8:11-13, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Verse 12, though a sinner do evil 100 times and prolong his days, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, that fear before him. It shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. God's trying to tell you to fear him, for it won't go well with those who don't. The Bible tells us that those who honor God with their lips but don't fear him, although they may seem to honor God with their outward appearance, their heart is really far from him. The Lord said in Isaiah 29:13, and the Lord said, for as much as this people draw nigh unto me, and with their mouth and with their lips to honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear of me is a commandment of men which hath been taught them. And today, most churches teach the love of God, but they haven't taught the fear of God. Church goers are being misled. They follow religious leaders blindly, trusting them and believing what they say. And the Bible cautions us about the blind leading the blind, for they both of them fall into the ditch. Matthew 15:14, let them alone. They are blind guides, and if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into a pit. In the Bible, it says that people feared God in Genesis, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and 1 Samuel. And it's also in 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, and 2 Chronicles. People feared God in Nehemiah, Psalms, and Job. And it's also in Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Hosea, Jonah, Micah. Also in Haggai, Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it's also in Acts, Hebrews, and Revelation. And yet the people of today don't fear God. As it is written in Proverbs 16:6, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. God tells us in Deuteronomy 5:29, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Listen, that's God speaking to you right now. Listen to the words of the Lord. It is written in Jeremiah 5:21-25, and then verse 31. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, that have eyes and see not, that have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord? Will ye not tremble at my presence? But this, verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God. Then verse 31, and my people love to have it so, and what will ye do in the end thereof? Well, like I said before, most preachers today and priests don't preach the fear of God. And my people love to have it so, is what it says. And although you may love the false teaching, the ear-tickling doctrines in the churches, the time is coming when you're going to fear God. The day is near when all shall fear him, even now. The judgment is at the door. It is at hand. And we need to hearken to the words of the Lord. Will you not fear the Lord and take heed to his warning? It's written in Proverbs 1:20-25. Wisdom cries aloud in the street. She utters her voice in the broad places. She cries in the chief place of concourse. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her words. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight them in scoffing. And fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But you have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Folks, we need to listen to the Lord and obey his commands. Do you pick and choose the portions of the Bible you wish to obey and ignore the rest of them? Do you believe God's word doesn't mean what it says? Do you willingly choose to make God's word a lie by not believing all he says? Do you willingly choose not to fear the Lord? God tell those who reject him what the results are going to be. It's written in Proverbs 1:26-31. I also will laugh in the day of your calamity. I will mock when your fear comes. When your fear comes as a storm and your calamity comes on as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come upon you. Then will they call upon me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore, shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Are you going to heed his warning, folks? The scripture said, because you hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, you would none of or wouldn't obey his counsel. Therefore, when you are afraid and when you are in need, when your fear comes as a storm, when distress and anguish come upon you, then God will turn away from you. He also will laugh in the day of your calamity and will mock when your fear comes. Notice what it said. You did not choose the fear of the Lord. In other words, you willingly chose not to fear him. So when you call upon God, he's not going to answer. You're not going to find God in your time of trouble. So don't argue with the scriptures, but go ahead and obey them without question. Because you are called to live according to the Spirit and not according to the flesh. Do you desire to hear the truth of God's word? It's written in Isaiah 66, 3 and 4. Yea, they have chosen their own way, and their soul delights in their abominations. I also will choose their delusions and will bring their fears upon them, because when I called, none did answer. When I spoke, they did not hear. But they did that which was evil in mine eyes and chose that wherein I delighted not. How long is it going to be before you obey God's counsel and hearken to his words? It's written in Malachi chapter 3 and verse 5. And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers and against the false swearers and against those that oppress the hirelings in his wages, the widow, and the fatherless, and that turn aside the sojourner from his right and fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts. Psalms 86 and 11 says, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name, Deuteronomy 31 and 12. Assemble the people, the men and the women and the little ones, and thy sojourner that is within thy gates, that they may hear, and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law. Psalms 34 and 11. Come, ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Deuteronomy 19 and 20. And those that remain shall hear and fear, and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil in the midst of thee. And you might ask, how can I learn to fear God? Proverbs chapter 2, 1 through 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Here's a condition. You're supposed to receive God's word and lay up my commandments with thee. This is the second condition. Lay up his commandments with him. Put the word of God in your heart. Renew your mind with the word of God. Verse 2. So as to incline thine ear unto wisdom. And if you'll note, a third condition, incline your ear to wisdom. In other words, listen to the wisdom of the word. How are you going to listen to the wisdom of the word without reading and studying the word? And apply thy heart to understanding. This is the fourth condition. You're supposed to apply your heart to understanding. What does that mean? It means to study the word, to meditate, and allow God to explain the word to you and do it. Verse 3, yea, if thou cry after discernment, do you cry after knowledge, yet don't spend much time reading the Bible? If you cry after knowledge, put away the television, the newspaper, the internet, and those other things that distract you, and study God's word. And lift up thy voice for understanding. If thou seek her as silver and search for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Some of you out there believe you know the Bible. Yet are we not all in various stages of learning? Listen to what Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says. For the Lord gives wisdom. Out of his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. We're supposed to cry after knowledge and search for her. Apply your heart to understanding. as you search the scriptures and incline your ear to receive God's word and obey him. Then you're going to understand the fear of the Lord. Forget the party. Turn off the television. Turn off the internet. Open your Bible. Study it day and night so that you can obey God's word. When you obey God, the Bible says, Proverbs 28:14, happy is the man that fears always, but he that hardens his heart shall fall into mischief. Acts 5:1-11. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. And his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, did it not remain thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy power? How is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thy heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all that heard it. And the young men arose and wrapped him around, and they carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? She said, yeah, for so much. But Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to try the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and they shall carry thee out. And she fell down immediately at his feet and gave up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all that heard these things. Know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, folks. The same God which these people feared is also to be greatly feared today. So we need to fear God and depart from evil. You know, there's still those out there who still will not fear God. It's written in 2 Kings 17:25. And so it was at the beginning of their dwelling there that they feared not the Lord. Therefore the Lord sent lions among them which killed some of them. God's the same now as he was then. He's given us a warning. Ecclesiastes 8:13. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he fears not before God. And if you don't fear God, it ain't going to go well with you, folks. When the day of judgment comes, you're going to reap the results of not obeying God's word. And if you think you shouldn't fear God, think again, for it's written in Isaiah 33:14. That the sinners in Zion are afraid, trembling has seized the godless ones. Who among us can dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us can dwell with everlasting burnings? Now listen, being under grace does not release you from the obligation of being obedient to the will of God in heaven. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that does the will of my Father who is in heaven. It's the will of God that you obey his commandments and fear him and serve him. Paul tells us in Romans 3:10-12. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They are together become unprofitable. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Jeremiah 44:10-11. They are not humbled even unto this day, neither have they feared, nor walked in my law, nor in my statutes, that I set before you and before your fathers. Verse 11, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will set my face against you for evil, even to cut off all Judah. Now listen. Listen real carefully to these next words. And we need to heed this warning of the Lord. Jeremiah 2, verse 19 says, know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord of hosts. Now listen again as these words come forth. Know it is an evil thing that my fear is not in thee. And again, another warning comes from God's word in Deuteronomy 28:58 through 59. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful or fearful, and the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues of long continence, continuance, and sore sickness, and of long continuance. God's word tells us that not of fearing him can bring affliction. Psalm 55:19, God will hear and answer them. Even he that abides of old, Selah, the men who have no changes and who fear not God. Remember this, God has not changed. If there are preachers out there who would have you think that he has, even thousands of years ago, when Moses was doing the great miracles by the hand of God, some didn't fear God. And what happened? Well, in that particular case with Moses, the result was death. Look at Exodus 9:20-22. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and his cattle in the field. Are you the one that does not regard the word of the Lord? Verse 22, and the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thy hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast, upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. Exodus 9:24-25. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as had not been seen in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast, and the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. And yet, even with the great plagues that had been brought upon Egypt, many of them still refused to fear the Lord. And as we read in Exodus 9:30, but as far as thee and thy servants, I know that ye will not yet fear the Lord God. In Zephaniah, we read in chapter 3:6-8, I have cut off nations, their battlements are desolate. I have made their streets waste, so that none passes by. Their cities are destroyed, so that there is no man, so that there is no inhabitant. Verse 7, I said, only fear thou me, receive correction, so her dwelling shall not be cut off, according to all that I have appointed concerning her. But they rose early and corrupted all their doings. Verse 8, therefore wait ye for me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey, for my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdom to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. And again, we're warned to fear. And then, as we read in Romans 11:20-21, well, by their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by thy faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spare not the natural branches, neither would he spare thee. Do you still say you won't fear God? Those who don't fear God are the unsaved. It's written in Psalms 36 and 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart, there's no fear of God before his eyes. There's no fear of God before the eyes of the wicked. We see clearly the person who persists in not fearing God is certainly not in agreement with the scriptures, because they have told us time and time again to fear God. We know the scriptures regarding Jonah. In Jonah 1:13-16, nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get them back to the land that they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous against them. Verse 14, wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. Verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Verse 16, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. They offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Then it's written in Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10, the Lord said unto me, assemble me the people, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. Joshua chapter 4, 23 and 24, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you, until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us, until we were passed over. Verse 24, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye may fear the Lord your God forever. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put into it, nor anything taken from it. And God hath done it, that men should fear before him. Then Exodus 20 and verse 20, and Moses said unto the people, fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before you, that you sin not. In Mark 4, verse 41, the disciples are talking. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Then in Matthew 27 and 54, when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. King David said in Psalms 119 and verse 120, my flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. It's written in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but the foolish despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9 and 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. You know, few people these days really seem to comprehend the holiness of God and his perfect and equal justice. Psalms 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endures forever. This verse seems to be telling us several things, including those who obey his commandments will have a good understanding of the scriptures. You reckon this could be saying we might know a person's understanding of the scriptures according to his obedience to the word? Yeah, we know that those who don't know Jesus, that's the unsaved, have very little understanding, and that they don't obey the gospel. And so far, God's word has told us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and also the beginning of wisdom also. I don't want you to know it. It is the beginning of these things. Many these days may think they have a good understanding of Scripture, but upon closer examination, we find that they don't. You reckon it could be because they don't fear the Lord as they ought to? And could it be because they don't obey the Scriptures, or that their understanding is darkened? Could it be that they don't even know that this is true in Job 28:28, which says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." God's word's telling us that the fear of the Lord is not only the beginning of wisdom, it is wisdom. And then the verse tells us that to depart from evil is understanding. That's very much in harmony with Psalm 111:10, which says, "A good understanding have all they that do his commandments." For surely, when you depart from evil, that's doing God's commandments. Proverbs further tells us in chapter 15, verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor goes humility." And thus we have covered the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It is wisdom. And here it is, the instruction of wisdom. The verse concludes with this, and it says, "And before honor goes humility." Indeed, we can't be saved unless we humble ourselves before God and become as little children before Him. And it seems like very few people will do this, and only a few shall enter heaven. Isaiah 33:6, "And there shall be stability in thy times, abundance of salvation, wisdom and knowledge, the fear of the Lord is thy treasure." We are reminded that God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, as it says in Hosea 4:6. And where is wisdom? It's in the fear of the Lord. Indeed, the fear of the Lord is thy treasure. Because of the fear of the Lord, we depart from evil. Repentance is departing from evil. And could we not say that fearing the Lord may be a key to repentance? Psalms 19:9, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the ordinance of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." Folks, I need to say that again. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The Bible also tells us, Proverbs 8:13, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy and the evil way, and the perverse mouth do I hate." That's what the Lord said. We have seen that to depart from evil is understanding, and here the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And God's wonderful word tells us that Proverbs 14:26 says, "In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge." So, may we also say that without the fear of the Lord, there is not strong confidence. Learn to fear the Lord. The Bible assures us that in doing so, your wisdom and understanding of the Scriptures should increase. And we found that God's dealings with Israel in the Old Testament certainly caused one to fear the Lord. We could see through the Scriptures how God deals with sin, and how God deals with rebellion, and how righteous and equal His judgments are. Study the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. It's written in Psalms 34:9. "O fear of the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him." Psalms 89:7, "A God very terrible in the counsel of the holy ones, and to be feared above all them that are round about him." Psalms 33:8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord, let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him." And his saints, these are the born-again Christians, are under commandment to fear the Lord. The assembly of the saints, that's the churches, are under commandment to greatly fear the Lord. All the earth is under commandment to fear the Lord. and stand in awe of him. And would you make a statement that you don't need to fear God? Because if you do, you're disagreeing with the Bible. And admittedly, the fear of God is not being taught in many churches today. However, the scripture also tells us the church of this Laodicean age is not highly regarded by God. Reference is Revelation 3:14-19. The love of God is certainly being preached, but not the fear of God. It's written in Psalms chapter 25 and verse 14, the friendship of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Salvation appears to them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. Psalms 85:9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. Again, we see that we might expect the Holy Spirit to draw them that fear God, for his salvation is near them that fear him. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that has it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may depart from the snares of death. Repeatedly, we see the Word of God telling us, those that are truly saved do indeed fear God. To them that fear him, he will show them his covenant. His salvation is nigh them. Also, the fear of the Lord tends to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. And then also in Acts 13:26, we're told, brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and those among you that fear God, to us is the word of this salvation sent forth. The scripture tells us that men depart from evil by the fear of God. And because of the fear of going to the lake of fire and the fear of judgment, because we know that God is a consuming fire and that God will bring judgment on all who live according to the flesh and not according to the Spirit. Because we don't wish to perish from the way. We indeed fear God and depart from evil. We love him because he first loved us. We love him for his great mercy. But we also fear the Almighty God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who shall rule the nations with a rod of iron. That's in Revelation 19. Yet God in his mercy, in Psalms 111:5, says it, he hath given food unto them that fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. Acts 10:35 says this, but in every nation he that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. And note the words that come across loud and clear. He that fears him and works righteousness is acceptable to him. The Old and New Testaments both show the same thing. We seem to be coming to an inescapable conclusion, and that is a Christian who does not fear God even a little bit is a Christian that will perish to the lake of fire unless he repents and begins to fear the great and everlasting, all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty God Almighty. The God who created the heavens and the earth. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 22:4, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. Psalms 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that take refuge in thee before the sons of men. Once again, we see life connected with the fear of the Lord. God has laid up great riches for them that fear him. And we read in Revelation 11:18, and the time to give their reward to thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to them that fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy them that destroy the earth. People, these days are often unfamiliar with much of what the Bible says. They don't realize they are to fear God. And because of false preaching and a lack of studying the scriptures themselves, they're often misled and will perish because of a lack of knowledge. In Psalms, we read in chapter 34 and verse 9, O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Then 25 and 12. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he instruct in the way that he shall choose. And we know that God deals or heals people, but does everyone get healed? It's written in Malachi 4:2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. Psalms 145:18-19. The Lord is nigh or near unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. Proverbs 10:27. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 13:13. Whoso despises the word brings destruction on himself, but he that fears the commandment shall be rewarded. 2 Kings chapter 17:39. But the Lord your God shall ye fear, and he will deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. And again, God's word gives many promises, and again, they are based on fearing God. In other words, if you fear God, these promises apply to you. Proverbs 31:30, a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. It's written in Psalm 5:7, but as for me, in the abundance of thy loving kindness will I come into thy house. In thy fear will I worship toward thy holy temple. 2 Corinthians chapter 7:1, having therefore these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Leviticus 25:36. Take thou no interest of him or increase, but fear thou God. Leviticus 25:17, and ye shall not wrong one another, but thou shalt fear the Lord, for I am the Lord your God. Colossians 3:22, servants, obey in all things them that are your masters, according to the flesh, not with thy service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Ephesians 5:21, subjecting yourselves one to another in the fear of Christ. 2 Chronicles 19:9, and he charged him, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a perfect heart. Folks, that bears repeating, do in the fear of the Lord with a perfect heart. Folks, do you realize this is God talking to you? So we need to let these words sink down into our hearts. Get out of the dead churches that don't preach God's word correctly. Hear the word of the Lord. Apply his word to your heart. Well, folks, I'm out of time. God bless you. We'll see you again next time, God willing.